We're going to have our Bible reading now. If you need a Bible, please put a hand in the air and a steward will happily bring you one. Our Bible reading this evening is from the Old Testament prophet Malachi, and you'll find him on page 960 of the church Bibles. The last book of the Old Testament. Just a reminder where we've got to. We're in week three of looking at this book. And we've discovered already that this is a weighty message from the Lord. That's how the book starts, an oracle, a weighty message. And it basically breaks down into six conversations, six kind of disputes between the Lord and his people. And we're at the second of those disputes, which starts in chapter 1 and verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due to me? If I am a master, where is the respect due to me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you, O priests, who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we showed contempt for your name? You place defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you bring blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Now implore God to be gracious to us. With such offerings from your hands, will he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Oh, that someone would shut the doors of the temple so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty, and I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations. From the rising to the setting of the sun, in every place incense and pure offerings will be brought back to my name, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. But you profane it by saying of the Lord's table, it is defiled, and of its food, it is contemptible. And you say, what a burden, and you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. When you bring injured, crippled, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hands? Says the Lord. Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. And now, this admonition is for you, O priests. If you do not listen, and if you do not set your heart to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I've already cursed them, because you've not set your heart to honor me. Because of you, I will rebuke your descendants. I will spread on your faces the offal from your festival sacrifices, and you will be carried off with it. And you will know that I have sent you this admonition, so that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord Almighty. My covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace, and I gave them to him. This called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was found in his mouth, and nothing false was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and turned many from sin. For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, and from his mouth men should seek instruction, because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty. But you have turned from the way, and by your teaching you have caused many to stumble. You have violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty. So I have caused you to be despised and humiliated before all the people, because you have not followed my ways, but have shown partiality in matters of the law. This is God's word to us tonight. Please open your Bibles again to Malachi, which you'll find on page 960. And very much, I guess, treating that song that we've just sung as our prayer. We add our amens and let's press on with Malachi. Just to kind of get us thinking to start with, there's a number of kind of cultures and nationalities represented here. And if we were to kind of do a survey of the words respect and honor in different cultures, in different societies, we'd probably discover that there's all sorts of ways that people show respect and honor, different behaviors that communicate respect and honor. So I was chatting to a family the other day, and in their culture, respect and honor is shown to the grandfather by when you come into the house, you bow to the grandfather. They have to kiss his hand. That's part of their culture. Respect and honor in our society, you know, so think of someone important like the Queen. If we were to meet the Queen, there would be certain things that would be right to show respect and honor because of her position, because of her authority, because of who she is. So you would probably want to dress smart if you had pre-warning. You would bow or you would curtsy. I have a very good curtsy, but I know we're meant to bow. And you certainly wouldn't touch her because that's a no-no. You don't touch the Queen. There's things, isn't there, that show respect and honor for those we love, those who are in authority, those who are in charge. There's outworkings of it. Our behavior shows our respect and our honor. But equally true is the flip side, isn't it? So actually, by our behavior, we can show that we totally disrespect someone or we totally don't honor them. So imagine circumstances, which I'm sure happens to none of us, but imagine a teenager who totally ignores what their parent says. Now, looking at that behavior, you'd have to say that shows disrespect, don't you? You'd have to say that shows dishonor for their parents. Or, you know, a teenager who completely does the opposite because they know it winds their parents up. That is behavior that gives away dishonor. I do not respect you. It takes someone who's important and who should be loved, and it devalues them. Did you get that idea? Now, we need to think about that because I think the reality is that's a challenge for us always as Christians, if we're a Christian here this evening, to show respect and honor for our Lord Jesus. It is very true that he is the most worthy person of our respect and our honor. He is the most worthy person because he is the one who's loved us. Because he is the most valuable thing. He tells a story of finding him being like finding treasure in a field. He is the most precious, the most valuable, the most important, the most honored person in this world. And so a constant challenge for us as believers is how does our behavior show that we respect Jesus, that we love him, that we honor him, that we treat him as the person of greatest worth and value? How does our behavior reflect that? And really, that's where this passage this evening, this part of Malachi, whilst it may seem a million miles from our world with all this sacrificing of animals and blind animals and priests, whilst it might seem a million miles away, that's the challenge that it lays before us. It's a weighty message of the Lord that confronts the people's respect for him. And so have a look with me at verse 6, chapter 1, verse 6. The Lord starts to question his people. A son honors his father and a servant his master. That's the way of life. That's what would work out in our society or should work out. But then he questions his people. If I am a father, where is the honor due to me? If I am a master, where is the respect due to me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you, O priests, who show contempt for my name. Now, we need to just pause there, partly because I had to pause there in the week, because show contempt for my name is a phrase I don't use very much and isn't a phrase I understand. So I did some digging around and tried to get my head around this phrase. What is the Lord accusing his specially loved people of? He's accusing them of showing contempt for his name. Now, some English translations, when I had a look at some others, use the word despise. Now, maybe we think
the word despise, you know, oh, that sounds a bit harsh, doesn't it? You know, kind of, oh, that's, you know, when you despise something, it's kind of that foul taste in your mouth. You know, you go, oh, you know, you despise something. You take something and you disgust it. You know, oh, that's not good. But actually, the word just means slightly something a little bit different here. The word to show contempt or to show despise means that they've taken something that is valuable and full of worth, and they've treated it like it's worthless. They've taken the precious Lord, the Lord who's loved them, and they've treated him as if he doesn't matter. It's like me taking a £10 note and using it to blow my nose. Something of worth, and I'm treating it like it doesn't matter. And that's what this word contempt means. That they have taken the Lord, who is worthy of love and worthy of respect and worthy of honor, just like a father is, just like a servant is, a master is. And they've treated him like it's worthless, like he doesn't matter, like he's unimportant, like he has no place in their life. That's his accusation for them. And what is another way perhaps that we can think of this? If you were with us last week, you'll discover that the Lord is being questioned by his people. He says to them, I've loved you. And the people then say, well, how have you loved us? They're questioning the Lord's love for them. But this week, you can think of this accusation like this, that the Lord now turns the tables and he's now questioning them. They've questioned his love for them, and now he says, but what about your love for me? Where is your love for me? I've loved you. I have loved you. You are my specially loved people, but what about your love for me? It's a weighty message that I think can be summarized with the words we find in verse 10, where the Lord says to his people, I am not pleased with you. I'm not pleased with you. Why? Because they've taken the Lord, who is worthy of honor, who is worthy of love, who is worthy of respect, and they've treated him as worthless. They've despised him. They've showed contempt for him. The people were failing to honor. And as we dig into this message this evening, I recognize that perhaps as we read it, that there's just a lot in there that you think, man, this is just a million miles from where we're at. How on earth has this got anything to do with us? But I want to tell you this evening that there's two challenges that we find in here. We're going to find that perhaps this evening the Lord is addressing that question to us. Where is your love for me? Where is your love for me? Where is your respect for me? Where is your honor for me? And it might seem that this message of animals and priests is a long way from us, but I want to show you quickly for two reasons why it's a message for us. First of all, because it's a message to the specially loved people of God. This is the people that he set his love upon. And whilst it's to a historical part of his people that isn't us and isn't our culture and our world, actually, do you know what? This is a message, a timeless message, a timeless rebuke for the specially loved people of God, including those of us who are followers of the Lord Jesus. And also, just as a heads up before we get stuck into it, actually, this is not just for priests. Now, some of you, if you were observant, might be thinking, well, this is just for Nathan and Johnny and the guys who stand up the front and do stuff because they're the leaders. Well, actually, do you know what? This isn't just a message for the priests. Because the priests, something you have to understand about the priests is they had two jobs. One of the jobs was to represent the people before God. And so actually, who are they? They're representatives of the people. And so the mess that the people were in is actually the mess that is reflected in the mess that the priests are being accused of. So that's one reason it's for us, because actually the priests represent the people. And another job of the priests was to represent the Lord before the people. They were meant to speak the message of the Lord to the people, and they're doing a bad job of it. And so that's why this is a message for us. Now, it's quite dense, and it's quite a big passage. So I've tried to summarize the challenges in two ways. And the first one is this. I think the lesson for us is don't despise the Lord by despising the sacrifice of Jesus. Don't despise the Lord by despising the sacrifice of Jesus. So look how the conversation carries on, okay? So we've had the accusation. He said to them, look, you despise me, you show contempt for me, you take me who is worthy of your honor and respect because I've loved you, and you treat me as worthless. And then they turn round and they say, what? Us? Are you serious? And you can almost sense the shock, can't you? Look at the end of verse 6. But you ask, how? You can almost, you know, kind of hear their back chat, or they're murmuring among one another. Us? We go to church. We take our sacrifices every day, every week. We sing the hymns. We've got David's songbook. We sing the Psalms. Do you mean us? Us treating you as worthless? Do you mean that? And then they carry on. He says, how? Well, because you placed defiled food on my altar. And they're saying, well, how have we defiled you? And the bottom line is that they're bringing dodgy sacrifices. They're bringing sacrifices, if you look in verse 8, that are crippled and diseased. The shock of it, although it doesn't come across very clearly in verse 13, is they're bringing injured animals. So, I mean, just imagine the scene, okay? Some of these guys are on their way to the temple, and there's a sheep that's been knocked down by a moped. And it's over here with its arm and its leg hanging off and its eyeballs popping out. And they pick it up. It's roadkill. And then they take it to the temple and they offer it as a sacrifice. Do you see the picture? They are taking sacrifice and they are treating it as worthless. Now we need to step back for a moment from sacrifice and just understand something about how it works. Because sacrifice, this thing that they're treating like rubbish by bringing dodgy sacrifices, is a love gift from the Lord for people to have access to him. That's what you've got to get about sacrifice. That's why it's such a big deal here. Sacrifice is a gift from God about how they could be accepted by him. So it's something he'd spelt out very clearly for them. He says, you know, that a sheep or a lamb should be a male and it should be perfect and it should be without blemish and it should be sacrificed in a certain way. It was spelt out very clearly. It was a gift from the Lord so that they could enjoy access to him, a relationship with him. That is what sacrifice was all about. It was all about relationship with the Lord. And what they're doing is they are taking this love gift from the Lord, which was all about having a relationship with him, and they're saying, do you know what, it doesn't really matter that much. We don't think it's that important. We don't think that sin is that big an issue. We don't think that our relationship with you counts that much. And they're minimizing the seriousness of sin by bringing dodgy sacrifices and picking off dead animals off the road and taking them to the temple to sacrifice them. They're putting their second best into their relationship with the Lord. Do you see that? That's what the accusation is here. And look at verse 10. You see how offensive that is to the Lord. This is his gift of love to his people so that they can come to him and be accepted by him, because that's the words that's repeated over and over again. And he says to them, oh, would somebody just shut the doors of the temple? Please just keep away. Because you just have no honor, no love, no respect, no worth for our relationship. Because you do not understand how precious this gift of sacrifice should be to you. You do not understand. You think you can swan into my presence with your sinfulness and come on your own terms. And he says no. He would rather no relationship with his people because of their actions and what it shows about their love and their respect for him. They despise the Lord by despising his gift of sacrifice, the means by which they have access. That's what was happening back then. The question, I guess, that I hope some of you are asking, well, what does that mean for us? Because unless you've been closing your eyes when you come to Enfield Free Church, you'll notice that we don't sacrifice sheep on a Sunday. And we don't kind of pull up our roadkill and put it up on here. We don't do that. So what has this got to do with us? Well, we don't sacrifice animals anymore for our acceptance by the Lord. Why? We've been singing about it all tonight. Because of the sacrifice, the perfect, unblemished sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament goes to town on the language of Jesus being the sacrifice that marries it to these sacrifices here. Lamb, perfect, unblemished. It's his blood that covers our sin. The Lord Jesus is the way that we have been given for access to God, to be accepted by the Lord. Where the people of Malachi's day had failed, and where we would fail if it was still us in this system of bringing the sacrifices that give us access to the Lord graciously has provided his Son, the perfect sacrifice, that we might be accepted by him. And as he addresses this people who show no respect and no honor, have a look at verse 11. Look, what does he say to them? This is amazing. He says, "My name will be great." He says that the nations will come to him. And there's a day in his mind as he addresses these people of Malachi's day, a day when he would give them the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice that they failed to bring, so they could be accepted. And it was suitable for people from all nations because he is a great God, he is a great king, and he will be honored. He will be feared as people come to him through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the once for all sacrifice who brings sinful men and women like us into relationship with the Lord. He is our way of relationship. He is our love gift from the Lord, the sacrifice we need in order to have relationship with the Lord. The cross must be at the center of our access to God. The cross must be at the center of our relationship with the Lord. And so here's the danger for us. The danger is that we show a lack of honor and respect for the Lord when we show a lack of honor and respect for the cross of our Lord Jesus. When we minimize the cross, then we dishonor our Lord, who has given it to us as a love gift so that we can have access to him. Now, the temptation when we hear that is we're like, "Oh, surely not us. EFC? We've even got a cross on the front of our building. We sing about the cross. We've been singing about it all evening. Us? Yes, us. Yes, us." Because the cross is so vital to our access. There are many ways that we're in danger of minimizing its importance, of treating it every time that we sin and we think that sin isn't that big a deal. Do you know what we're saying? We're saying actually that the cross doesn't matter that much. By thinking that the message of the cross is something that we graduate from. Well, you know, the message of the cross is something for when you become a Christian. But it's not really for kind of everyday. No, the cross of Jesus is an everyday thing because without it, if you minimize it, you dishonor the Lord. It's so tied up with his character and his love and his nature that you're actually dishonoring his name when you dishonor his means of access. Perhaps we come to church like tonight. Perhaps we've sung the hymns. How can I be free from sin? Lead me to the cross of Jesus. But our hearts aren't in it. We've lost that affection, that daily necessity of the cross of our Lord Jesus for access to the Lord. We're in danger of sometimes subtly and sometimes not so subtly saying by the way that we treat the cross of Jesus, actually, my relationship with you, Lord, isn't actually that important. Every time you minimize the cross, you say to the Lord, "Lord, I know this is your gift for me to have access to you, but I'd prefer to do it another way. I'd prefer to rely on myself. I actually don't think sin's that serious, or I don't think the cross is that effective." We show our love and our honor and our respect for the Lord as we daily love and value the cross of our Lord Jesus. That's the first thing that I think this passage in Malachi is teaching us this evening. The second thing that it's teaching us is don't despise the Lord by despising the priestly work of Jesus. Have a look at the chapter 2 onwards. So there's a second problem that the Lord picks up on. And it's a problem that the priests were not leading the way when it came to honouring the Lord. So have a look at verse 2. He says, verse 2 of chapter 2, "If you do not listen, and if you do not set your heart to honour my name, says the Lord, I will send a curse upon you." Here are the priests, the ones who should have been leading the way in honoring the Lord, giving him what is worthy, what he's worthy of. And yet, they'd chosen to set their hearts. Now here's the other thing you need to get about the priests, okay? So we've already thought about the priests as representatives of the people. But here's where the other role of the priest is so important. They would be meant to be representing the Lord before the people. That's part of their job. You see, just as sacrifice is a love gift from the Lord so that we can have access to him, so too the priests are a love gift from the Lord for a great purpose. Now, here, let me show you the purpose, okay? The passage is quite dense, but it talks about this guy called Levi, who was kind of the granddaddy of the priests, and he was the one that this covenant was with. But look at verse 5, because this is why priests are a love gift from the Lord to his people. He says, "My covenant was with him," this guy Levi, "a covenant of life and of peace." There's thing number one. The Lord gives priests because through them he was going to bring life and peace to his people. Look on in verse 6. The priests are a love gift to his people. Why? Because true instruction is in their mouth. How are the people going to know how to live, how to follow the Lord, what it means to be one of his people? Because instruction is meant to be on the mouths of the priests. What else do they do? Verse 6, they turn people from sin. That is a love gift from the Lord. When you are going in the wrong direction, it is a loving thing for someone to turn you back. And the priests were meant to do that. They are a gift from God. And verse 7, the priests are messengers. They're messengers of the Lord. This is another way, the priests are another way that relationship with the Lord is maintained. But as the priests fail to honor the Lord, as they fail to set their hearts to honor him, actually, do you know what they're doing? They're leading the people in the wrong direction as well. Have a look at verse 8 of chapter 2. "But you have turned from the way, and by your teaching you have caused many to stumble." And the warning that's for these priests is that if you despise me, the Lord says, if you treat me as worthless, if you treat your role as priest as worthless, then I will despise you. That's the serious warning. You see, look at verse 9. "So I have caused you to be despised and humiliated before all people." As the priests fail to do their job, they are essentially taking this gift from God, which is a good thing, and they're saying, "We don't want to do that. We think we know better. We think we've got it sorted." Do you see that? The precious love gift of the Lord to his people was priests. And they're saying, "No, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do your job." They've devalued. They've taken something of worth and value. They've taken the £10 note and they've blown their nose on it. Because they've devalued what a priest should be. And the impact for the people is disastrous. And so what about us? What about us? Well, just as the Lord provided the perfect sacrifice that the people were incapable of bringing, he provided the perfect priest that the people were incapable of being. A priest whose words brings life and peace. A priest who's got true instruction in his lips. A priest who turns many from sin. And that priest, of course, is the Lord Jesus. I don't know if you've ever got stuck in one of those conversations with people when you're trying to explain about the Christian faith. And they say, well, do you have priests at your church? And you say, "Oh, no. We don't have priests. We don't need priests anymore." Actually, I've been brought up recently because that's true, but it's also not true. Do we need a priest? Absolutely. We absolutely need a priest, but not an earthly one that you come into this building and sit in a box and confess all your sins to. No, we have a heavenly priest. We have a priest who has gone into the heavens and is at the right hand of the Father and is interceding for us. Can I just read to you a short passage from Hebrews? It's Hebrews 7, and it says this about Jesus. "Now, there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them.
Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy and blameless and pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. The law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. That is our priest. Do we need a priest? Yes, we do. Just as a sacrifice is necessary for access, we need a priest who will lead us and guide us and bring us life and bring us peace. The warning for the people of Malachi's day is a warning because they despise the priesthood. And we show our love and our honour and respect for the Lord as we allow Jesus to do his priestly work for us. So how do we respond to the instruction of Jesus? True instruction is found on his lips. If we despise his instruction, if we do the opposite to what he says, then do you know what we're doing? We're despising Jesus. We're despising his priestly work. And we are despising the Lord, because the Lord is so tied up with this gift of his Son as our priest that we end up despising the Lord and dishonoring and disrespecting him and devaluing him. How do we treat his rebuke? How much do you value the daily interceding work of our Lord Jesus, who sits at the Father's right hand interceding for us? That's what a priest was meant to do, and that is what our great high priest does. But as soon as we minimize, as soon as we don't think we need that work of Jesus, then we're dishonoring the Lord. He's so tied up, his character, his nature is so tied up with giving us the sacrifice we need and the priest we need, that as soon as we let the cross drop out of a place of value, and as soon as we let the priestly work of Jesus drop out of its place of value, then we're dishonoring the Lord. And the warning for the people of Malachi's day was that if they carried on, he says to the people, if you persist in this path of despising me, of treating me as if I don't matter and as if I'm little value, if you continue in treating the sacrifice like it doesn't matter, then the Lord says that he will despise them. And that is the weighty warning of this part of God's words. Even as I reflected on that a bit this week, I thought of those words of Jesus where he says, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. That is true for those of us in this room who are not in a relationship with the Lord through Jesus Christ. If we persist in our despising of the Lord by despising his sacrifice and despising his priestly work, then he will one day despise us. But actually, it's true for us if we call ourselves Christian but continue to dishonor the Lord by not relying on the cross and not relying on the priestly work of Jesus every day. Those who despise the Lord devalue the Lord and will be despised by him. So where does this leave us this evening? Well, hopefully this passage actually leaves us in two places. If you're here this evening and you're not in a relationship with the Lord, then I think it says very clearly to us that there is a love gift from the Lord, which is the sacrifice of his Son and the priestly work of his Son. And there is no access to God, no shortcuts, no roadkill kind of ways to get to God other than his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you need to come to Jesus to gain access to God tonight. You need to put your trust in the priest who was despised where we deserve to be despised. You need to come through him. But actually, for the rest of us, can I turn what's really a negative warning here into a positive? Because actually, one of the things that's grabbed me this week, I don't know about you, but having studied a weighty passage like this, one of the things that my heart yearns is that I want to honour my Lord.
I guess like many of you here, I want to honor my Lord this week. I want to honor Jesus. I want to respect him. I want to give him what he's worthy of. And so let's turn the negatives into positives. How do we honor the Lord this week? We honor the Lord as we love the cross and we love the instructing work of Jesus. And so let's make a priority this week of keeping the cross and the sacrifice of Jesus at the center of everything. Let us make it our aim this week to wake up in the morning and say, Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for the forgiveness of my sins. Thank you that you laid down your perfect, unblemished life so I could have access to you. And let's make it our effort every day to listen to the true instruction that is found on the lips of Jesus. That is how we will honor Jesus. He is the Lord. He is so tied up with what we do with his Son that this week we will be those who honor him if we love the cross and we love the instructing work of Jesus.